When I talked to you before, I didn't think of it was because you became head of the Democratic Party. And I didn't think of you as interested so much in national politics. I thought of you as getting involved more in state politics. So what made you decide to run for this office, which is the first congressional district?
You know, I love New Mexico and I love the people in it. And I felt very, very confident that I could be a strong voice for the people of District 1 in New Mexico because I know it so well. I've traveled the state many, many times. And there are a lot of issues I think that are important to us. Climate change, moving into a renewable energy economy, Medicare for all, ensuring that people, every single person we know that lives here in our state and in our country have health care, and getting big money out of politics. And those issues resonated with me. I felt that I could be an effective voice in Congress. And so that's why I'm running.
Congress is sort of a big body, and there's a lot of people in it. And I wondered if people started reaching out to you after you said that you were going to run.
You know, when you decide to run for and build a campaign like this, I mean, it's really been my job to reach out to people myself to get support and to let folks know what my intentions are and that kind of thing. So we've been very successful at reaching out to members of Congress. I've gotten a number of really wonderful endorsements from members of Congress and feel confident that we do have the support for our campaign to move forward.
New Mexico is a small place, but I think that our congressional representatives have done a pretty good job of getting the name out about New Mexico. And
So I think I have 16 members of Congress who have endorsed my campaign. I'll give you a few examples. Pramila Jayapal, who is a very strong advocate for women's reproductive rights and Medicare for all and, you know, closing the big gap on pay equity. She is a strong progressive voice. She has endorsed my campaign. Earl Blumenauer, the congressman from Oregon, is very strong on legalizing cannabis and working to quit throwing our people of color into private prisons for nonviolent pot crimes, for example. He's also very strong on agriculture and is a strong proponent in getting some things in the Farm Bill included so that we can help small farms, you know, small growers and small ranchers. So those are some of the folks who have endorsed my campaign, who have helped me along the way, and I feel confident that when I get to Congress, I'll have partners to move the agenda for New Mexico forward.
What committees would you want to be in, or where would you want to work?
Well, of course, it's rare that a freshman gets appointed to the Appropriations Committee, but that's what I aspire to, and I will work hard to get there because I know that would be an important seat for New Mexico. The Natural Resources Committee is also one I think that is important, given the fact that we care a great deal about our environment here. We have a lot of national parks, we have open spaces, we have the Rio Grande River running right through our city. So I would like to make sure that I'm on the front lines of making some of those decisions or moving the decisions in the direction that we need them to move. So that's another one that I think would be important.
Are you talking to them in terms of making commitments to anything, or where are you at this point? What does a campaign look like at this point?
I've been very fortunate to get some wonderful endorsements. At this point in our campaign, though, we're a little over a month away from June 5th, which is the primary date. So we are concentrating very heavily on winning our campaign, getting our field program doubled in size. We're recruiting volunteers and we're raising money so our ad can stay up on television. And so that's pretty much where our focus is on our campaign right now. 35 days out, and we're have our nose to the grindstone. So we're mostly concerned about ensuring that our voters get to the polls. And you might know that that's been a passion of mine for a long time, making sure that voters vote, that we register and get voters to the polls. So that's a dear thing to me, GOTV. And so I want to make sure that we have a robust program to make sure that everyone's voting.
And it looks as though this may be another year where there'd be an influx of women. Are you focusing on that aspect at all?
I am always happy when there are a lot of women running for office. I was a graduate of Emerge New Mexico. It's a political leadership training program for Democratic women here. And its sort of parent organization is Emerge America. And the president of Emerge America mentioned to me that there's over 500 women running nationwide from that program alone. So I think it's wonderful that women are stepping up. I think the Women's March of 2017 had a great deal to do with women maybe looking at themselves as potential public servants. And so I'm thrilled that there are so many women running for office. I would be very proud to be among any woman who gets elected to Congress, because I think we can, you know, bring issues to the table that perhaps haven't been previously brought to the table. So
we've talked about your background before, but let's remind people.
Sure. I am an enrolled member of Laguna Pueblo. And my mom still lives out there. That's the Pueblo that's about 40 miles west of Albuquerque. My dad was in the Marines, so he spent 30 years in the Marine Corps. And so that meant that we traveled a lot. I went to 13 public schools before I graduated from Highland High School here in the Southeast Heights of Albuquerque. And my mom was a Navy veteran and dedicated 25 years of her life as a federal employee to Indian education. So I grew up in a Pueblo military household. And my parents were public servants. They taught us how to serve our community. And so I'm really happy to have had that background.
But you also went to law school, right?
I did, yes. I graduated from UNM School of Law in 2006.
Okay. And then you worked with the tribe.
Sure. Well, with my own tribe of Laguna, I have served on many boards and committees. I was on the election board for 3 election cycles, I believe. I was on the housing board for a while, and I also served as chairwoman of the Laguna Development Corporation. That was the board of directors that manages our economic development at Laguna. And I also served as a tribal administrator for the Pueblo of San Felipe. So I ran all their federal programs there. They call them the Consolidated Tribal Government Programs. And those are, you know, you apply for the grants, you get the money, you manage the programs and make sure that the reports are filed and so forth. So that was such a wonderful job. San Felipe was awesome when it came to the programs. They had, for example, a clinic in the village where people didn't need a car. If they had a doctor's appointment, they could walk there, right? It's something a local community can manage on its own, and I was very happy to have an opportunity to work there.
I've been in meetings with tribal elders, and it seems as though it's hard for women to get their voices heard at times. So I wondered how that interaction went with you.
Sure. Well, at Laguna, prior to, I think it was 1996, women just had never previously run for public office. And so a group of us clarified that by ensuring that a referendum was placed on the ballot asking the people at Laguna whether they would want women to run for office. And it passed. It was overwhelming. So women do run for office at Laguna. There's a difference between IRA tribes, which Laguna is. We have a constitution and we vote, and a traditional Pueblo, where the religious leaders essentially appoint the political leaders, the governor, lieutenant governor, and so forth. So Laguna, we vote. San Felipe didn't vote. The leaders were appointed. And so there is a difference there. And I mean, yes, it's always, I found that it's difficult as a woman to have an opportunity to lead. And if you feel like you have good ideas and you want to help people and you aspire to a leadership position, perhaps you could do what I did, which is to, you know, go to the outside and, you know, seek a leadership position there. I just feel like I've always wanted to help people. That's what my parents taught me. It's why I ran for lieutenant governor. It's why I ran for state party chair of New Mexico. And it's why I'm running for Congress, because I feel compelled to I just want to help people. I want to make things better for our community. And I think you can do that when you're in a leadership position and have the ability to make decisions that affect people's lives.
Okay. So when you say go to the outside, what do you mean?
I mean, instead of running for office in my pueblo, I'll run for office in, you know, New Mexico or District 1, if you will. So that way, I just felt like that was the alternative for me.
What has the effect been? How has that affected your community?
Well, I've gotten a tremendous amount of support from a lot of people back home at Laguna. You know, a lot of people have come out to support my campaign. I'm very grateful for that. I've gotten probably 14 tribes here in New Mexico who are supporting my campaign, and over 70 tribes nationwide who are supporting my campaign. So I've gotten a tremendous amount of support from Indian Country. I'm very grateful for that. Last night I went out to Santo Domingo to participate. They had a voter. You know, they're trying to encourage people to register to vote. So I went out there just to support that effort. And I am grateful for the support I've gotten, and will continue to work very hard to, you know, to honor that support.
Okay. When you talk about support, are you talking about money or are you talking about people, volunteers? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about both. Both are important, right? We have to raise money. We got to get volunteers. When Senator Fred Harris nominated me for my state chair position, he said that she knows how to get volunteers, and volunteers are better than money. So
you talked a little bit about the issues that made you want to run, but let's talk about what issues you would work on in Congress.
Well, I absolutely believe that we need to do something about climate change. That is the issue of our time. And so I will fight very hard. I'd like to see 100% renewable energy. I think we can make that happen. I think it would create thousands of jobs. It would address the climate change issue. You know, a couple months ago, I was in D.C. and I participated in a Progressive Change Campaign Committee press conference. It was when President Trump had laid out his infrastructure plan, and we got petition signatures online. I printed all those out and we marched them to Paul Ryan's office. But essentially, the Republicans' infrastructure plan had nothing about renewable energy. It was very heavy on fossil fuel infrastructure. So I would love to make sure that I'm a part of the Democratic infrastructure plan so that we can ensure that renewable energy is a priority across the country. It is the issue of our time. So I'm very strong on the environment, very strong on climate change, that we have to do something about it. And I think solar energy is one part of what we can do about it. It makes perfect sense. It's cheaper than extracting fossil fuels. I think it could create thousands of jobs and will save millions of pounds of carbon from going into the atmosphere every single day.
Okay. You talked a little bit about health and reproductive choice.
Sure, yes. I'm always talking about that because women's issues are important, which is why we're fighting for Medicare for all. When I was in law school, I used to get my health care from Planned Parenthood because it was affordable and it was accessible. So for women like me, affordable and accessible health care is such a godsend. And so I'd like to see us ensure that everybody, not just women, but everyone has opportunities to see a doctor when they're sick. That's good for our kids. It's good for our parents. I was a single mom. In fact, I still am. Know what it's like to sit with my daughter in a waiting room for 3 hours, you know, waiting to see a doctor. And so healthcare is so interrelated with jobs and our economy. And we have to ensure that we can keep moving forward and not get stopped. You know, nobody should go bankrupt because of their medical bills. And no woman should be denied the healthcare that she needs.
Okay.
Half of our population is Medicaid eligible. That means a lot of us aren't making a lot of money. And so we have to care about that. We have to care about people having access to health care.
Okay. So what would be your budget priorities?
Well, certainly education, and you know, education is certainly important to me. I'd like really like to see us move for early childhood education for every single child. I think that would be so beneficial to so many people in our state. Childcare would be amazing. That would be, you know, for single parents alone, who, you know, folks who don't have family. Now, I was very fortunate to have my mom close by. If I needed somebody to take care of my daughter, she wasn't far away. Not everybody has that luxury. And so, yes, I think we need to care about moving our country forward and helping to bring people out of poverty. And a lot of employment decisions made by single parents or not even single parents. Childcare is definitely an issue that everybody considers. And so whatever we can do to support families in our state and across the country, I believe that should absolutely be a priority.
Okay. Why don't we bring your daughter in? She's here in headquarters.
Soma. Oh, here she comes.
I remembered that when you announced your campaign, I think you had a picture of her with you.
I did, yes. Yes, she's out. I always have a picture of her.
So people have been saying, this is crazy, your mom's running, and what do you say?
I don't know. I think people expect kind of a big reaction out of me, but she is the same person she's always been. Her ego has not inflated at all, and she's still my mom. She's still the same person she's always been, and so when she told me she was running, I was like, yeah, of course you are. Like, it didn't really make any difference to me because I just knew that was something that she was meant to do, and it has not changed her at all. It's just kind of always the type of person she's been.
Where are you in this decision for her to run? Were you behind the people that were telling her to do it, or were you dragging your feet?
I don't think I would ever drag my feet. My mom has always supported every single decision I've ever made with my own life, and so I don't see any reason why I wouldn't do the same for her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you involved in the campaign?
I think the way that I see myself helping the most is just in my day-to-day life. Like, I am a living example of, like, a success of hers. I would try to get people who may not normally be involved in politics or be interested in politics sort of involved, and because they have a personal connection to her, they're more likely to care or get out to vote and remember. Like, I have people asking me, like, remind me when to vote because I'll forget, you know? And so I feel like, if anything, even if I'm not able to be in the campaign office making phone calls every day, I am kind of living and breathing it as I go about my regular business. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that this year more people your age will get out to vote and will be involved in the in campaigns or in politics?
I absolutely do. I think that, yeah, my people, like my peers, have been a lot more involved. A great example of that is my good friend Gus Pedrotti ran for mayor this last cycle. And although he didn't win, I think that he got a lot of young people involved in politics, and also just was a living example of how, even though we are younger, like, we can make a difference and we can make our voices heard and we can make information accessible to all different types of demographics. And so, yeah, I do think that a lot more young people are excited to get involved.
Okay. If your mother, Deb Holland, whom we just heard from, if she ends up going to Congress, what would you want her, what difference would you want her to make? What would you want her to work on?
I mean, it's hard, I think, to answer that question specifically, but, you know, her heart is in the right place. It always has been. And I completely have faith in whatever she sees fit. I mean, like, that's why we elect people to make those decisions in our best interests. But, I mean, we have so much to work on, and we will for a long time. I think because of where she comes from and just her doing the work she's doing now is the beginning of making that difference, and I have faith that once she gets there, she will make all the right decisions.
Will you be a voice in what she does?
I mean, we pretty much like have a lot of the same ideas already, and I feel like that's, you know, why we like get along so well. We have the type of relationship where we really support and respect each other's ideas and opinions. Like, we've always been able to sit down and explain things to each other, and, you know, she never talks to me like I'm this like young person who doesn't know what I'm talking about, you know, like she is willing to learn from me and vice versa. And I feel like we very much are already on the same page in terms of our ideas and our desires for what we want to see happen. And so I feel like if I did have an idea or if I did want her to take a certain step, she would absolutely listen to me. But I do feel like we're kind of already on the same wavelength.
Okay, good. Yeah. Deb, we talked about a couple of areas that you would be interested in working in Washington, but let's talk about whether Congress people can have power and can have real power, and whether women can have power in Washington.
Yes, I think we can have real power, and I think what it boils down to is being allied with the issues that you care about. Singly, you're one vote, but if you have allies who are, you're all willing to vote on the same thing, you're all willing to support something good for people, you gain support by building relationships with people and ensuring that they care about the same things you do. So in that respect, yes, I think we can be allies on a lot of things, and in doing so, we'll be a much stronger voice and a force.
Okay. Have you been asked to weigh in on the question of Nancy Pelosi at this point?
You know, that's not really on a lot of people's minds right now, I'll be honest with you. Some folks you talk to will say, yes, we'll flip the House. Others say, we're not sure. So I think for me, we're focusing on our primary election, and we will remain focused on it until June 5th, because we need to ensure that we're getting all our folks to the polls. So we'll cross that bridge, I think, when we get there. But right now, I think, you know, there's a lot of primaries that haven't happened in the country. So folks, everyone's has their nose to the grindstone, and they're working hard to win their primaries.
Okay. So you haven't made any commitment at this point?
Not at all. No. No, it'd be nice to know. You know, June 5th, we might know a little bit more than we know now, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for sharing with us, and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan.
You can go to my mom's website at debforcongress.com if you'd like to find more information or volunteer.